Lord give me a little something for today to encourage us along the way. Quit ye like men. And that is not gender specific this morning. That's just a phrase. It goes for everybody. Thinking about like the garden, I got a garden planted, rather large garden, I think. And thinking about all the difficulty there is in trying to get all the way from planting to fruit. We had a couple lines of strawberries that I put in last fall of plants we had, put some nice lines in and got a bunch of pine straw, pine needles, and made a good bed there. Looked really pretty, and this spring they come up really pretty and made these nice big plants. They look so good, and they had big blossom on them and had some pretty nice strawberries on them, tasty strawberries. Most of them was everbears. And went out there one day, and all three or four of them was eat off, clipped off down the ground. And I thought, well, I wonder what done that, but that's not losing too many of them. And they may grow back. And I went out a couple days later and looked, and there was 8 or 10 of them picked off. And what about this? And now about half of them's gone. I think it's some groundhogs doing it. I can't really blame groundhogs for doing it if that's what they like to eat. They wouldn't know no better. There's nothing malicious about it. There's nothing pointed at me about it or anything like that. It's just that it's my strawberries. You understand? I mean, I put them in there for a reason, and they're eating them off, and so that's something that I have to deal with. My wife said, well, put up a fence or something, and I don't know. It's hard to keep a groundhog out of there. I don't know what exactly to do about it, but it needs something done about it, and it's a difficulty in trying to raise it. This year is really tough because this year I have hoed and hoed and hoed. With it raining and wet every day, you can hoe it, you can cut it, you can chop it, and the next day the roots are still there in moisture and it's still growing out, and you hoe it and it's like you spread it, and I've hoed and hoed and hoed it on it, and it's coming up and coming up, and I got my garden on, and it looks pretty, but I go out and hoe it, and I know I'm going to hoe it again and again, and I looked, and potato bugs all over my potatoes. Well, last couple of years, I haven't had any trouble with potato bugs, but I noticed there's potato bugs. Well, thankfully, my garden grows good enough potato vines that maybe there'll be good potatoes enough for me and the bugs, but there's bugs trying to eat it down. There's insects. Last year, I went out in the garden, I looked, and out in the middle of my bean patch, I seen these two little ears sticking up out of the bean patch, and got to looking, there was the prettiest little fawn in there, and I said, well, I won't disturb him, leave him in there. And the next day, I got to thinking, it's not good to have a deer in your bean patch. And so we got in there, and Dryas went in and caught him, and we pulled him anyway, let him go. And so the next day, I went out there and looked, and it was almost for spite. I think the mother come back, and it looked like you put a lawnmower through my bean patch. It just took my bean patch down. And I'm noticing that if I'm going to accomplish something, there is birds that you can plant stuff in, and when it starts up, they'll pull it up to eat the seed off of it. Do that. A blackbird, if you plant tomatoes too early when a blackbird is making a nest, a blackbird loves that, the leaf, the first sprout of it. It makes a really good thing to entwine their nest with, so they'll come down and they'll pick all those off of your tomato plants. There's all of these things, and it reminded me so much of living for God. Because there is all kind of interferences. From getting to the stages we had in Sunday school this morning, from getting to the stage of starting to getting to the mature place, there is all kind of difficulties in that process. You're going to have every foe that you can think of is going to try to interrupt you along the way to be able to do that. And what is the alternative I can look at all that and say at the end of it, there's no use going on with this project. But if I'm going to have strawberries, I'm going to have plants, and if I'm going to have plants, I'm going to have to deal with the groundhogs that's eating the plants. So one way or another, I've got to win or he's got to win. One way or the other, there is a conflict between me and the blackbirds. There's a conflict between me and the potato bugs. There's a conflict between me and the weeds that wants to overtake the garden. And I want to encourage us as a message of encouragement this morning. I want to encourage us to keep our eyes on the goal and not get our eyes just off on the specifics of the battle. Because when you get into the specifics of the battle, I've never seen what's eating that. I've never seen it. Maybe a groundhog, maybe some, I've never seen it do it. If I would see it and I had time, I could deal with it real quick. But I can't, so it's going to take some effort to keep doing it. Sometimes you put, I don't know what happened, I planted a line of beans and two or three plants come up. Well, obviously the seeds were bad or something got to it. Well then I had to go and get some more seed and plant it again. And plant it again. And defend it. And keep going. And it's like that living for the Lord. The scripture I put on the board says, quit ye like men. Well, how does a man quit? What's a graceful way of quitting? It ain't talking about having a graceful way of quitting. It isn't talking about being polite in your quitting. It's talking about a man don't quit. That's why it said quit like a man. It's not talking about a male. There's a lot of males that quit. It's talking about the idea of being a man, and the reason why he's got that title is because he doesn't quit when he has a job to do. He'll do it all the way. He'll see it done all the way. And when it's done, then he can lay down. But until then, there's no quitting in it. I want us to be encouraged that whatever we sacrifice here in this life, whatever we got to do, if you've got to replant, replant. It's worth replanting for. Sometimes we have these things and we see a need in our life, or maybe I'm the only one that's done these things, but you see a need in your life, so you seek the Lord for it. Lord, help me with this. And you feel like you got some victory over it and you go on. But before long, your mind's not on it, you ain't focused on it. Before long, you fall into the same place. Anybody ever done that? You fall in and before long, you're where you was before. And you say, well, how did it get back to that? And you, so you go and maybe you ask the Lord, Lord, help me. I'm going to plant again. I'm going to go in again. And you do it again. And the next time, no more victory than it was the first time. And you know, it's real easy to get to the point that you say, that's just the way I am. I can't change. Quit you like men. That scripture is found in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. A man won't quit till the job's done. Over in Hosea 6. Says, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will rise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord. This is a scripture I remember hearing Brother Salmon say quite often. We can know the Lord if we follow on to know the Lord. You can't quit in your process of following the Lord. But you can know the Lord if you follow on to know Him. The Lord is in everything we do. You can see Him in that if you follow on to see Him in that. So sometimes, many times, most of the times, if not all the time, he doesn't show himself in the early stages of things. But we can see the Lord in it if we follow on to know him. If we continue on, we can see the end of it. We can see full ears of corn on the corn if we follow on to see it. If we take care of it all the way, you can see, you can pick the fruit of this thing at the end of it. And you can know the Lord if you follow on to know the Lord. You can see the benefits of that. You can say, the Lord was with me and He helped me. Well, you know this around here, but we told it many times. But there was a stretch of a year and a half. A year and a half stretch to where there wasn't a single moment within our family that somebody didn't have some kind of sickness or physical problem, to the point that it got to the point during that time that it's kind of like if you mention it, it can't happen again. But we got to saying, well, we're getting better at this, or this child's getting over this. I wonder what will come up now. And before they would get better, somebody else would have something anywhere from mild to serious case. And it went on for a year and a half. And it got to saying, and the Lord brought the reality of many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. We saw the Lord. We followed on to know Him. And we saw Him because we followed on to know Him. We kept going and kept going and kept going. We didn't quit. We kept sowing. We kept going and saying, Lord, help us in this. And it got to be, You helped us with this. You helped us with this. You helped us with this. And we're going to believe You're going to help us with this. And now we're four things. And then on the fifth thing, we got four things behind us. You helped us this, and You're going to help us. And then it was six, and we had five behind us. And this, and You helped us. And You delivered us out of them all. I started quoting that scripture early on and saying, many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And I dropped the front of it off. I was getting weary. I was getting tired. And I started saying, I'm not even going to say many are the afflictions of the righteous. So every time a new thing had come, I'd say, and the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And over, the Lord showed Himself. You can know the Lord if you follow on to know Him. If we quit, it's the determination. Say it often. God's got His part. We've got our part. We can't do His. He won't do ours. We have a part. If we're not determined to live for the Lord, He's not going to make us be determined. We've got to have some determination that this is what I'm going to do and allow the Lord to build in our lives. Determined. Nothing works if you're not determined to do it. And I'm amazing because I've been running a little bit, and I started out running a very little bit, and I didn't think that I could do it after all these years of doing it, but I started running to get kind of back into some kind of a physical shape. And I started running, and the first day I run about 100 yards, and I was breathing so hard and hurting so bad, I thought, well, I ain't going to do this. And by the next day, I had run, I think a half a mile or something like that. And by about 3 days, I'd run a mile, and I'd run a mile every day, pretty much every day. A couple of days after that, I started running two miles. Today, I run purposely said, I'm going to run 3 miles if I can. And I run, because I purposed it. I know that there's things that you can't do. But it wasn't because I said I can't do it that I did it. It's because I purposed that I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, even if I hurt. And I'm going to keep going to see if I can do 3 miles. And I crossed 3 miles today and said I was able to do it. And I say it's a lot like that living for the Lord. You have to have a purpose for what you're doing, or it doesn't work. Everything we do, I know we have some young guys we prayed for, and young lady that's went to school, and we prayed for them a lot that they would be successful, and the Lord would keep them and bless them and all that. But if you don't have a purpose to finish those years of school, you won't finish them. You have to have a purpose that there's going to be a reward beyond that. You know how many young people I know that started school with big ambitions out of high school? They're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, going to do something. A doctor's about 8 years from the time you get through. You got to go through a lot to be a lawyer. I've seen all these things in my lifetime. And to be honest with you, in my life, very few ever succeed. on an average that do that. Most of the people I knew went to school, and then they got sidetracked with one thing and sidetracked with another. They spent a lot of money and going and doing this, and they ended up no better off than they was to start with because they had no real determination that I'm going to go to school and do this. Most of them had a desire that I'm going to go to school and get an education while I party. Like, I'm going to get a second. The education will be second to going and having a good time at a party. Guess what happens to education? There's no purpose to it. It falls to the side. So the things that we do, I can decide, well, I'm going to set me up a restaurant here in Green Bank. And I'm going to put a restaurant up here. It can be called, you know, Marty's Hometown Cooking or something. I mean, you know, I'm going to set it up and I don't really care whether you come and eat at my restaurant or not. And I don't care whether the food tastes good. And I don't care whether the dishes and the tables are clean. Now, you know, what kind of a successful restaurant do you think I'm going to have? I'm not going to have a successful restaurant. And I'm not going to be successful in my outreach of the Lord reach out to the Lord if my attitude is I don't really care whether you worship with us or not. And I don't really care whether you get anything when you come. And I don't really care whether it's a nice environment for you or not. And I can do that with all my life. And it's not going to be successful because there's not a real purpose for it. Not a real desire for it. I have no real purpose to obtain anything or get anything. Then it's not going to work. Nobody that runs business ever does it if they don't have a passion for it. It doesn't work. So quit you like men. When you start living for the Lord, the idea of it is, this is the plan that is set before us. You don't happenstance into heaven. You're not going to stumble in. You're not going to accidentally get there. It's not going to happen. You can go if you want to more than anything else in the world. If you can do it if you want to more than your own life. You can go if you have an honest heart, and you can't go if you just half-heartedly want to do it. Or I'm just going to end up there at the end. No, there's got to be a purpose in it. The Scripture says in Matthew 11, Matthew 11 and 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, the same writing or the same situation is in Luke 16 where it says, and everybody presses their way into it. But the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That sounds like almost a non-Christian verbiage there. Violence and take it violent before. And it ain't talking about beating up somebody. It's talking about defending your garden against groundhogs and bugs and insects and things it's going to destroy. It's talking about getting violent with it. Motion. Fight for it. How do we fight? We fight with the weapons of our warfare. We fight with prayer. We fight with intensity. We fight the warfare. But if you're going to take this kingdom, it suffers violence. In other words, the host of hell is against this. The devil's against us. The world's against us. Everything's against us. And it is always persistently fighting against us. And the only way we can get it is to fight back spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. We fight the enemy. Press on. Quit like men. Sometimes you might get jolted good, but how do you quit? You quit like a man quits. No quit in me. I'm not going to quit. I admire something that doesn't quit. Now there's probably no bear hunters here, but if you was a bear hunter here today, and you had some of these hound dogs, I'm going to tell you, if you want to get an illustration out of something, you go get an old hound dog, one of these bear dogs, and see the absolute grit in these things. A buddy of ours over there had this old blue tick hound dog, and they got after a bear, and they got more than after the bear. They caught up with the bear, and catching up with the bear is more dangerous than just running the bear, and they catch up with the bear. And at the end of this struggle, this guy takes his A number one bear dog over to the vet to have it sewed up here and there and yonder. See, take it and has it all sewed up. And they go on the next trip, and they go, and the bear goes down over this rock cliff, and the hound dogs go barreling over there and over the rock cliff. So the dog that got sewed up one day is barreling over a rock cliff the next day. Now, I went with them the next day after that and had this old dog and let him out of his cage, and he comes walking out of there so stiff he can hardly move. But when it come time for the bear, he opened up and took off. I'm telling you, them things have no stop in them. They'll run themselves, literally, this is no exaggeration, you can ask them, they will run themselves completely out doing what they love to do. They love to chase bear. They love to fight bear. They love the pursuit and all that, and they do it. The guy had another old dog, old blue tick dog, and I looked at that dog and said, "How old is that dog?" And he said, "That ain't an old dog." And I said, "He sure looks old to me." He was boogered up. He was messed up. He didn't have any teeth at all. None. They was wore completely down. And I said, "Well, he don't have any teeth." And he said, "No." And I said, he said, "I'll tell you why he don't have no teeth. When they tree a bear and we're a long ways off, we've got there before and the whole tree, big trees, be completely ringed around. He'll chew the bark all trying to get that bear out of the tree. He's trying to chew the tree down to get that bear." And he wore his tooth. He was about 4 years old and never had a tooth left in there because he had chewed them down. And I said, "Well, how does he even fight the bear?" "Well, he tries. He bites at him. Says, can't hurt nothing. He don't have no teeth." But he doesn't. But it's determination to do it. I admire that even in a hound dog. But it's just a hound dog. But I really admire those that got a hold of Christ and said, "I ain't quitting. I won't quit." The Apostle Paul had it so much in him. His love for the Lord was so strong. His determination so strong that a man come up to him and prophesied to him. He said, "I'm going to Jerusalem." And he come up and prophesied, took his girdle, put it on, and said, and the one who owns this, if he goes, will be done this way, will be bound. And Paul said, Why do you weep and break my heart? I'm not only willing to be bound, but I'm willing to die for my brethren. I'm willing to go and die for this. Got a cause to go. Shipwreck couldn't deter him. Snake bites couldn't deter him. Whippings couldn't deter him. The stripes of their whips couldn't deter him. Nothing could deter him. Because he quit like a man. Going to see the end of the Christian race is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to quit like a man. I'm going to run this thing all the way to the end. I want to encourage you to get it set in your heart today to quit like a man when it comes to living for the Lord. Oh, you might take off jogging and sprain your leg and you could have to hobble in and have somebody carry you. No big deal. But when it comes to living for the Lord and you got that spiritual sprain, brother, straighten up to it and walk on it anyway. Stretch it out there anyway. We got a God that's going to help us. No failure in Him. And if we'll determine ourselves to quit like a man, then God will be a God enough to keep us through it. He can straighten up the lame legs and can give us a sound mind when maybe I'm the only one in here, but boy, my mind can take an attack sometimes. And boy, I can really get loony with my thing. I can get so discouraged and all those things. Quit like a man. God will come on the scene. I want to look at a scripture in Samuel. 2 Samuel. I'll pick it up at 8. "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino and Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 100 he slew at one time. You believe that? Well, the Bible says it. I'm going to tell you right there was a mighty man. Slew. If you told me to go pick up 800 rocks tomorrow as my job, just pick up 800 rocks and bring them to you, that'd be a job. That's a lot of rocks. And these guys wasn't inanimate objects. These guys wasn't dying easy. And so he had to be determined to fight it. There's some determination. The facts of it is that sometimes we look at the odds against us. 800 to 1. 1,000 to 1. It's too big for me. It's overwhelming. And it can cause us to get discouraged in this life. Well, it's, I can't do it. I've had people tell me, maybe it's good for you living for the Lord like that, and I appreciate that you do. Wish I could, but I just can't. I don't believe that testimony. I believe you can. And you can be successful as any person, because success isn't on your personality or your abilities or nothing like that. If you determine, God will meet every person at their soul's determination. And if you'll determine that I'm going to live for God, God's big enough to meet you at your determination and make a mighty man out of you. Make a mighty woman out of you. Make you able to pray. Make you overcome the flesh and the habits and the what they call it, the environmental pressures that makes our lives, that makes us different in each other. And I was raised, born in 62 and raised in Webster County over there, and we didn't know we was poor until we grew up and seen people had stuff. We thought we just like everybody was the same over there. Everybody didn't, so we were just as rich as anybody else. Oh, I didn't never consider myself poor, but we didn't have much. And it framed me somehow. My parents' ways and what they said and all that framed the way I am. And so I'm destined to always believe and think that way. No, I'm not. I'm not at all. When I'm determined to live for God, God can teach me and instruct me and give me the power to be whatever God would have me to be. I can be as good as any. Not that it's a puffed up with me. I'm saying it's the power of Christ that delivers us out of whatever. We can be changed. You don't have to be that. But if you're honest before the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to be? I've told this story many times, but I can look back on it and say, thank God for whatever you think of me standing up here and talking. The idea that I stand up here and talk is a monument to me, because I never would have thought that I ever could. And I like to tell the story of being a sophomore in high school and having to do an oral report and totally melted down. I never thought that I could stand before a group of people of any size and say anything. I was always a little backward in those kind of ways and never thought that I could do anything. So I get up to give my 3-minute report, and I take off so fast trying to get through it that everybody in the class started laughing, and they laughed so hard and I was embarrassed. And so the teacher stops and says, okay, start over. And so I start over, and that time I went faster than I went the time before, and the class erupts in laughter. And so the teacher says, okay, Marty, you sit down and you can try tomorrow. And I said, no way. I'm doing it in an hour and I'm doing it at all. But it was so embarrassing. I never would have thought to have done anything. But I said one day to the Lord, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do whatever you want. I'll live for you. Have me, Lord, whatever you want. And you know, line by line, by the time I actually did this, it wasn't hard, because the Lord was helping. You might think you're something, but underneath that, as they say, that lump of coal is a diamond, ready to be brought out from the Lord and made something. You'll not know the Lord if you don't follow on to know Him. The key is I'm not going to quit till the Lord shines me, makes me something, whatever He would have me to be. 800 would be daunting. And many times we can be discouraged when we look at the odds. But I want to tell you, I think Paul wrote in Romans, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who or how many or nations or kings? Who can be against us if God's for us? You can look at one single young man that went to Egypt named Joseph. If God's for him, who can be against him? Not even the Pharaoh. The Pharaoh will do what he's supposed to do under the hand of God too, and so won't everybody else. So if I follow on to know the Lord, I can know Him. And after him, Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Now listen to that. Here's a man that is with the people, and everybody runs. Except for him. And he swung that sword over and over and over. I don't know how many swings it would take. Over and over he swung that sword till he couldn't let go of it. You ever had to straighten your fingers? I've done it. Not to the point that it couldn't, but I realized what that would do. And he done it till he could not let it loose. From swinging it and swinging it, and he quit when the last one was down. The job wasn't being done. Quit you like men. Quit you like men. Don't give up when the insects come. Take us some fly swatter. Keep swatting, swinging, fighting. The devil's going to come today and he's going to come tomorrow. You ain't going to get away from him on Wednesday either. He's going to come. He's going to keep coming. He's going to keep coming. And you got a sword. Swing it and swing it and swing it till it cleaves to your hand. Don't give up on it. You can know the Lord if you follow on to know. Quit like a man. Be strong. Be determined. I guarantee you this. Lord won't let one more person come than what you can't take down. I'm not people, but there won't be one battle that you can't cut down to size. There won't be one. You won't drop the sword when you're determined. I'm going to live for the Lord. There won't be. I just can't swing it again. There'll be enough to swing it one more time or the Lord will stay the battle. Quit you like men. God's on our side. There's another man here too. After him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. Now here was a man that stood in the bean patch. It was their bean patch. And the people saw the battle coming and they run from the battle. That wasn't what God intended. God gave them the bean patch. God gave us blessings in our life. God gave us peace. It belongs to us. God gave us joy. It belongs to us. God gave us the blessings of His Spirit. They belong to us. Oh, devil's going to come and try to take your peace out of your home. What are you going to do? He's going to come and try to disturb things. What are you going to do? Fight for it. The people ran because they were scared, but they're glad there's one man. How much more victory and how quicker it could have been if it had been a bunch of them, but there wasn't a bunch of them. There was one man there. It says people, but there was a man there too. And he says to the devil, "You ain't getting my beans. You're not getting my blessings. You're not going to get it. I'm going to fight you down for this." And he stood there. I don't know how much a troop is, but it's more than one. It's a many. And one man don't seem very formidable to me. But one man standing there with fire in his eye and a sword in his hand saying, "If you want it, you're going to die trying to take it." One of us said, "Well, this is mine." There's only one way to live for the Lord and do it successfully. That's with all your heart. It's with all your heart. It does not work, wasn't designed to work, if you don't live for God with all your heart. It just doesn't work. And the scripture is full. If you save your life, you'll lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. If you give me everything in a full devotion, you win. You win. You win. Full devotion, you win. Quit like a man. Brace up to it. 2019, technological world, the advancements of the world, everything they're saying to us, there is no God. There is a God. And He's the same God that stood by the man who fought the truth. I'm not willing to lose my home to technology. I'm not willing to lose my peace to the world. I'm not willing to lose my dignity, my purity of mind. I'm not willing to give it up just because the world screams for it. I'm going to fight it with everything I got. And at the end of it, no matter how much someone says that's ridiculous, old-fashioned thinking, I'm going to hear one say, well done. At the end say, well done, you stood by the bean patch. And with all the old devil can bring, the insects are going to try to eat the tops of them. Old bean beetles get on there and try to eat the beans away, and the deer wants to eat the tops away, and the groundhogs want to eat it away, and then the beans come and they're going to be scabby, and you got to keep them off the ground. All the things you have to do to die, and that, and at the end of it, you got to work them up. And I know the whole process, but at the end of it, that's my beans. And you can't have them, enemy. So he fought, he stood and he fought and he swung and he killed. And he got to the end of it. And when he got through, one man, defended the bean patch. And who eat of the bean patch? He saved it for everybody. There was a time where there was a little boy named David out keeping the flocks, learning lessons. You'll know the Lord if you follow on to know the Lord. He had the lessons of being a shepherd, and the Lord taught him how. He had the lessons of how to fight a bear and a lion, and he won his lessons. And he come down to the whole nation of God, the whole nation, all God's people, all the men, supposedly men, all the men that could have stood up and made a difference, wouldn't do it. And one little boy comes and follows on to know the Lord. Wants to see God. He follows on to know the Lord, and he looks and he sees a circumstance so much different than everybody else saw it. He saw that old giant come out there, and his cause was too big. Is there not a cause? He said, is there not a cause? You can read that over there in 1 Samuel, I think. But is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Who's not willing to go down there for God? After all he's done and all the great stories of crossing the Red Sea on dry land, of crossing the Jordan on dry land, on Gideon, the sword of the Lord in Gideon and the great victory that he wrought him, and the walls of Jericho falling down, and now we're standing here in an uncircumcised giant defiling God's people and bad-mouthing God himself who's not here, who here don't care. Does anybody care? David looked and said, I care. I care. I'll go fight him, for he's just a piece of flesh. And God's on our side. Who benefited from the victory? Yeah, after David brings down the giant, they all run with a great voice of victory and shouting and running. Who eats of the beans after the man spared him? The whole people did. How much different can your life be? You might be the catalyst of a revival. You might be what sustains the whole group. You might be the one that the Lord uses to help some soul to go to heaven. We can know the Lord if we follow on to know the Lord. We're going to face, Sister Billie Jean said something today, probably everybody heard it, about the three little pigs and the big bad wolf. But she said something that is so true. The wolf's coming. Every house. He's going to blow on everything to see what it's made of. That's actually not in the terms of the three little pigs. But actually, there's scripture to that. For everyone, it will all be tested. There's going to be a fire come to see if it's going to burn at all. And if it ain't made right, it's going to burn. It needs to be made right. So we're going to have to know that the enemy is going to come, and you're going to face the severe things in your life, and there's only one way to do it, with the determination, Lord, I'm selling out. I'm selling out. Lord, you lead me through this life, and I'll follow. And I'll be able to see the Lord in the things of the life. If somebody like Brother Jim can get an illustration, Brother Jim used to get illustrations out of God out of cooked green beans, cereal boxes, newspapers, a tunnel that went through the mountain. I can remember illustrations he got from the Lord. He knew, seen the Lord and everything. And if you can do that and get an illustration out of the three little pigs, it proves that God can be in everything, and we'll know the Lord if we follow on to know the Lord. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.